buckle up. It's showtime.
All right, come on. Let's finish this. Give it to me. Show me what you're made of. Show me what you've learned. Don't let me down, son. Everything I've taught you comes down to this. This is the only way that you can hope to survive. Because life is not a movie. Everyone lies. Good guys lose. And love does not conquer all. So let's do this thing. Let's finish it.
Welcome back to the show, folks. We are here. We are ready. We are live. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com on this December the 18th, 2012. Excuse me. I got some strange call from the folks over at Rent-A-Center. I'd like to let my brother know. Either return the flight screen or pay for it. That's all I can say. 1 minute after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio. Folks, just to give you a heads up, I will be talking gun control today with the author of the book By Force of Patriots, a gentleman by the name of Cameron Reddy. Cameron Reddy is the author of By Force of Patriots. I do not know his political stance on gun control. One could only hope that it will be pro-gun rights in these United States. A guy who would write a book called By Force of Patriots, I never read. I only know his publicist, Stephanie. Good girl. She's a nice person. Made sure she got him on the show, and we're going to talk to him about not so much his book, but about the conversation on gun control. Folks, let me be the first to tell you, you've listened to me here on Reese on the Radio often enough. You've listened to me often enough. Say one thing. I support people's rights to own guns. It is their constitutional right, and I will always adhere to the constitutional right of each and every one who is born in this country legally. It is your right to own a gun. AK-47? Absolutely. As long as you're a law-abiding citizen. Why not? Some people just need to have a gun. Sometimes it's important to have a gun where you can, I don't know, what's the best way to put it? You can fend off a bunch of lunatics. Might be trying to do you harm. I just think it's important that you be able to do that. In some cases, I think you should do it in silence. A little silencer. Just in case you don't want, the loud, you don't want them to wake up the neighbors when you're off with somebody breaking into your house. Some people can hear that from a mile away, and people could be sleeping. You want to make sure that you don't deserve them. You give them a little silencer treatment. Hey, yeah, scumbag. Listen, I've got neighbors, they've got kids, they're sleeping, and you broke into my house. So listen, don't scream. You know what? In fact, don't worry about it. I've got the whole thing covered. That ought to take care of it. You see how quiet that was, bitch? That's just who I am. Bottom line is that we have to protect ourselves. It's a different world that we live in now. The criminals have made it in this day and age that they have to, you have to protect yourself. Because these people are raging animals. Like it or not, they're a bunch of animals. Some of them are
like a rabid dog,
and you must shoot them down. Sometimes you just have to handle the rabid dog like you have to handle the rabid dog. You just have to do that. And I'm down with the cause. I'm pretty sure the rest of you agree with me. But don't tell that to these people who are finding any and every opportunity to exploit the senseless deaths of 20 children and 6 adults. Well, 7 adults. Because I keep noticing that no one says there were 27 people killed here. People keep using 26 as if they're discounting Adam Lanza's mother. For those of you living under a rock, who haven't picked up a newspaper, gone on social media or whatever, Adam Lanza is the 20-year-old young man of Newtown, Connecticut, who took an AR-15, a Bushmaster, fired his way or broke his way in through the Sandy Hook Elementary School and fired some 100 rounds into teachers and students, more students than teachers, picked them off one by one. Some shot as many as 3 times the little kids. And now the outrage is being used as a political talking point to get guns off the street. Now, there are some people out there who are very, they're stepping here and there, cautiously, talking about getting rid of assault weapons. That's the new word now, assault weapons. They're not using the word handgun, semi-automatic pistol. There's no 9s and 4.5s being talked about in this conversation. It's all about automatic weapons. When they know bottom line, what they'd like to do is get rid of all weapons. But they're parsing their words. They're tippy-toeing, if you will, on those guns. But most of them are getting caught out there in a bold-faced lie. Let's take Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, the Democrat from California. This is a conversation she had with that Negro broad over at PBS named Gwen Ifill. I don't know what year Gwen Ifill thinks it is, but the curly fro is not making it. The days of Angela Davis and Florida from Good Times are over. Do something about the wig, chick. Do something about the wig. That's just me. But anyway, here's Gwen Ifill, resident mama, talking to Dianne Feinstein on PBS NewsHour about assault weapons. And I want you to pay attention to what this broad says about assault weapons and when she associates them to the recent mass killings, all the way back to Columbine.
Senator Feinstein, we have been here before. The president has, as he said last night, has spoken at 4 different memorial services for shooting victims since he's been president. And each time there's been discussion that this is the moment, especially after a congresswoman was shot, this is the moment when everything will change. Why is this the moment?
Well, this is the moment because I think people have had it. They have had it in fear. Look at Aurora.
Look at Aurora, she says. Look at Aurora, she says. It's important that you hear that.
Senator Feinstein, we have been here before. The president has...
That man came in with a 100-round clip. Excuse me, drum. If that drum hadn't jammed, he would have killed many more people. Look at Virginia Tech. Look at Jonestown. Look at Jonesboro, rather. Look at Columbine. Look at what's been happening. It's got to stop. Our schools have to be safe places. These guns are the guns that the grievance killers, the gangs, that people who want to do real damage look for and find very easy to obtain in our society. And we need to change that, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, thank you.
Thank you, Gwen.
Now, she mentions the Virginia Tech shootings. Anybody want to tell me what assault rifle, what military weaponry was used at Virginia Tech? Yeah, the reason why you can't think of one is because there wasn't one used. You see, this is where people like Dianne Feinstein get themselves caught. This guy was able to pop off 32 people with handguns. He was reloading 17 shots and killed 32 people. It's considered the worst school shooting in history, with 32 people popped off. He never used any, he used a semi-automatic weapon, but they were 9mm. You saw him in the pictures. There's no word about an AR-15, a Bushmaster, an AK-47. Dude was using handguns. Right? Handguns. But this is, again, where Dianne Feinstein and many others on the left and people who are gun control advocates show their hands. Because they say it's about assault weapons, but they secretly don't want weapons in the hands of anyone else. I'm going to play one more piece of audio here. Because Dianne Feinstein is a rat fink and a piece of garbage to boot. Here's Dianne Feinstein in April of 1995 talking about terrorist groups who were trying to kill her. Maybe you might remember this. Some of you may not.
Less than 20 years ago, I was the target of a terrorist group. It was the New World Liberation Front. They blew up power stations and put a bomb at my home when my husband was dying of cancer. And the bomb was set to detonate around 2 o'clock in the morning, but it was a construction explosive that doesn't detonate when it drops below freezing. Doesn't usually freeze in San Francisco, but on this night it dropped below freezing and the bomb didn't detonate. I was very lucky, but I thought of what might have happened. Later, the same group shot out all the windows of my home, and I know the sense of helplessness that people feel. I know the urge to arm yourself because that's what I did. I was trained in firearms. I'd walk to the hospital when my husband was sick. I carried a concealed weapon. I made the determination that if somebody was going to try to take me out, I was going to take them with me.
Goddamn right, bitch! Don't leave yourself vulnerable. But see, times have changed since 1995, dear Dianne Feinstein. Times have changed. The criminals, they got these AR-15s. I got the tech with the air holes. That's what Biggie said. Everybody's got all time. You know, what's that Tony Ayo says? He says, baby Paul, the baby AR to make it hot like South Beach. That's what they say in the raps. These dudes are getting their hands on all type of weaponry. And the way that things are now, you don't want people in there with heavier weaponry to protect themselves. Dude comes at you with an AR-15. You want a dude to just be able to pop off one shot at a time? Just want to make one shot? With this dude coming at you with heavy artillery, he's firing at you like this. And your response to that is going to be this. I don't think so, bitch. We're ready to harm ourselves to the teeth. These Negroes are maniacs. It's bad enough that they fire into schools, into playgrounds, and into porches and little stoops where kids play hopscotch and double dutch. And you want us to be able to run outside and go. That's how you want us to respond. They're running down the block. and you're not going to be able to fire back. I freaking love it. Not going to happen, bitch. Now let's go to our resident gun enthusiast, who I know is going to agree with me. And Mike, when I get this guy on, JC, make sure we got this guy ready for 9 o'clock. Cameron ready. If he's not on our side here, Mike, I want you to come in and I want you to pound this guy. Let's go to White Mike on Reason Radio.
Well, you know, man, a lot of people don't understand the difference between a true assault rifle and what the media has tagged assault weapons, in quotes. Assault rifles are like the military M4 and the AK-74 and the HK-91 and 93 and the FN that fire single shot, three-round burst, or fully automatic.
Right.
Nothing you buy in a gun store is any different functionally than a semi-automatic hunting rifle. My hunting rifle is a semi-automatic, the Remington Model 7400 in .308. It has a five-round box magazine, but it is no different than my AK, functionally, at all, none. It works exactly the same way. I can get a 20-round magazine for my hunting rifle, so it's exactly the same as an M14.
So
there's
wait,
no
actually,
difference.
Explain this to me and others. Like, there are guys who pretend to be gun enthusiasts, and there are guys who, you know, who think they know about the guns. Where is, or and you can probably explain this better than most, are the gun lobbies or the anti-gun lobby people, are they mincing words? Are they parsing words? Are they trying to pull the wool over our eyes when they talk about assault weapons or assault guns?
They are definitely deliberately misleading the public.
Okay.
I went to a neighbor's house this evening. We're talking about it. Mm-hmm. And he said, and he's a little off. He says, now I get an AK-47 at Walmart. So he goes, brrr. And I said, dude, they don't go brrr. They go bang, 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 bang. Each time you pull the trigger, one round goes off.
Right.
People don't know. They when they talk about semi-automatic handguns, they seem to forget that we've had those since the early 1900s.
Right.
You know, the Colt 45, the 1911 Colt that John Wayne carried in World War II movies, is from 1911. It's ancient technology. It's not new.
So
handguns are no more dangerous now than they ever were.
Let me ask you this as far as a novice is concerned, okay? So you're saying that this kid, Adam Lanza, he fired an AR-15. I'm only familiar with it in name. In order for him to fire that weapon, does he just have to hold the trigger and it just fires, or does he have to pull it one at a time?
One at a time.
So in order for him to shoot these kids, each bullet, he cannot hold the trigger and it sprays.
Right. He has to pull the trigger each time for one shot.
Okay. This makes...
He just doesn't have to cock. He doesn't have to keep cocking.
Right.
Yeah,
so
the rifle reloads itself. It's a semi-automatic design. It fires a round, then the recoil drives the bolt back and ejects the old round, and it comes forward and picks up a new round from the magazine. And it cocks the hammer all at the same time.
Okay.
But you have to pull the trigger.
That's the
again.
Same thing that happens with a 9mm, a Glock. Right. This is the same thing that happens with any weapon.
Now, the Glock is a different system because it's not a true double action like a Beretta.
Mm-hmm.
A Beretta has a long trigger pull for the first pull, then it goes to single action for every round after that. So it's a lighter trigger pull. Glock is always, it's kind of like, it's striker fired, kind of weird cock design, so it's always ready to go. It has a light trigger pull, but you still got to pull the trigger one time for each round.
Okay, but so this AR-15, the press is giving us the impression that Adam Lanza just holds the trigger and it fires off. Not that each and every shot is sort of premeditated, if you get my meaning.
Right. Now, as a civilian, you can buy fully automatic firearm. You can buy one legally. You have to pay a $300 tax stamp to the federal government for each one, and you have to be approved with a background check, and your local law enforcement has to sign off. The problem is, the way the law was written, is civilians are not allowed to own any newly manufactured fully automatic firearm. You can only own ones that were made before 1986, which means that to legally buy a fully automatic M16, it costs you like $15,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're crazy. And there's other dumb shit, pardon my language, it's in the Class 3 licensing, like silencers and sawed-off shotguns.
Okay.
Now, there's never been a crime that I've heard of committed with a silencer. Nobody goes on a silencer shooting rampage, because
right.
Why would you, right?
Right?
People might want a silencer for shooting a .22 rifle and not having to wear ear protection, or, you know, shooting varmints on your property, or shit, I don't know, because it's fun. It's not a problem, but
right.
You have to pay a tax stamp to buy that. And sawed-off shotguns. Now, the legal barrel limit for a shotgun is 16 inches. So if you cut one off to 15.9 inches and they catch you with it, you go to prison.
Okay.
Because that one-tenth of an inch suddenly made that shotgun more deadly or some crazy crap. It's dumb. So what they did to get around that is shotgun manufacturers like Bushmaster sell these stupid, useless pistol grip shotguns. So the barrel length is still 16 inches, but they take the stock off. So the overall length is like 18 inches. So they make a totally useless weapon that nobody can shoot accurately to skirt the law because people want a shorter shotgun. But what's the problem with a shorter shotgun? It makes them less accurate and harder to shoot.
Right.
You know, they're just cool, but you can't have it.
Hmm. So, okay, that being said, okay, with the way that you've broken this down, what is it that you think that the anti-gun advocates are really saying in all of this? That they want to get rid? Do you believe that they want to get rid of all handguns, or do they want to get rid of just these quote unquote AR-15s?
Well, you know, it's like getting the camel's nose under the tent.
Okay.
You know, when they first passed the National Firearms Act in 1934. They said, oh, well, you know, we're just going to say you can't have machine guns and silencers. We're not going to touch anything else. Next thing you know, they say, oh, shit, you know, Kennedy got shot. Now you can't buy a rifle in the mail. You can't buy a rifle from across state lines. You can't go to another state and buy a handgun. And then it's, oh, well, we're done with that. And, oh, no, no, wait, no, Saturday night specials. So you can't have these inexpensive handguns because Negroes shoot each other with them. So screw you poor people. You don't deserve to get a handgun. So that happened, and then it was, oh, the assault weapons ban under the first Bush.
Right.
So, oh, no, now that the AR-15 is so much more evil because it has a bayonet lug and a flash hider, so you can't have those on your gun, and you can't sell them with a 30-round magazine, but you can buy any 30-round magazine that's been made for the last 50 years. It was a useless act. It's just trying to get people used to giving up more and more control. And they divide the gun-owning public because they say, oh, we don't want to affect hunting rifles. Then they put in language about armor-piercing bullets. But any rifle round will go through soft body armor.
Right.
Your granddaddy's .30-06 will go through body armor like a hot knife through butter.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand. That
so when,
when they
so,
pass
so,
these draconian laws, it's going to affect things that they don't want affected.
Let's go back to the AR-15 that Adam Lanza used, okay?
Okay.
Now, the argument that everyone's making is, why would this woman have an AR-15? We don't need these on the street. They don't use them for hunting. You know, they...
Bullshit.
They exactly my point.
Bullshit.
Okay.
You can hunt
now,
with an AR-15.
Say again?
You can hunt with an AR-15.
Right, because it's a single firing weapon, correct?
The only problem with AR-15 and hunting is some states won't let you hunt deer with it because the cartridge is too small.
Really?
It's only a .22. The AR-15 round is 5.56 by 4.5 NATO, which translates to caliber 223 Remington, which means the actual diameter of the bullet, the projectile that comes out of the barrel, is 0.22 inches. So it's the same size as a .22. It just comes out at a fast speed.
Okay,
but it's a very light hitting round.
Okay, right. So but now an AR-15 wouldn't be used in combat today, would it?
Oh, yeah. They shoot, that's the same one they use the M4. It's just a fully automatic version, but the same round.
Okay, so it's the same round.
And our squad assault weapon, the M249, also uses a 223 round.
Oh.
Yeah, the rifle the Russians use, the AK, is a lot bigger bullet.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It fires 7.62x39, which
exactly.
is 30 caliber.
Yeah, that much I know about the AK-47. See, that's why I'm confused about this whole thing, about why this AR-15 is being used as the template of the argument of the assault rifle, so to speak.
It's the most popular semi-automatic rifle sold in America. People use it in all kinds of shooting competitions. Well, maybe not the most popular overall, popular center fire, as opposed to rimfire 22. I think AR-15 is the most popular.
Now, the AR-15, you can shoot accurately with this and at distances
of
what?
People are doing 500-yard shots with it. It's a pretty accurate round.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. 500 yards is a considerable crap. That's 5 football fields, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, if you get into, like, really long-distance stuff, they use bigger bullets because bigger bullets have more momentum behind them and they shoot flatter or something. But, people do competition shooting with AR-15s. Look, if the rifle sucked, cops and military wouldn't use it.
Right. Now, so, okay, with that being said, in essence of the, I mean, with in regards to the AR-15, would you fairly compare this to saying it's a rifle version of the 22?
No, it's a civilian version of the M16.
Ah.
Yeah, it's the same gun as the military uses, just this one is semi-automatic. And I don't have a problem, honestly, with people owning fully automatic rifles. I mean, there has not been a problem with legally owned fully automatic rifles in this country, ever. Since they've had this stupid NFA, you know, the Class 3 licensing, there have been, like, 2 cases where a person with a machine gun has gone crazy and shot somebody. One was a cop.
Right.
So it's a nonsensical argument just meant to confuse people.
Hmm.
The average citizen doesn't understand that if somebody walked into a room full of kindergartners with a 44 Magnum revolver and a 12-gauge pump shotgun, that they could kill just as many people.
Right. It would have been the same amount. It would have been the same amount of carnage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I look at this. The Virginia Tech shooter who used nothing but handguns. He didn't use any
rifles. Oh, and get this. Cho used a 9mm Glock, and he used a .22 caliber Walther when he did the shooting.
Exactly. No rifles.
So one was a .22. Yeah, a .22 even.
Right. No rifles. But he managed to kill more people than were killed in Sandy Hook.
And now the question remains, and the gun grabbers don't want to address this, but what if somebody had a firearm in that class? I mean, they don't tell you that the shooter in Oregon at Clackamas Mall was confronted by an armed citizen. Then the guy ran off and killed himself.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. If you just Google, like, Clackamas Mall CCW holder, you'll find the story.
I saw the story that said that there was an armed person inside the mall that stopped any further carnage, but I didn't read I didn't read the entire story because I thought he confronted him and they had sort of a shootout or something like that, but he ran off.
The guy just ran off and shot himself. And they don't tell you that the shooting at Pearl, Mississippi, that Luke Woodham, who walked in and started shooting people with his deer rifle, the lever action 30-30, after he got done shooting, he ran off and was going to go shoot some more people. And an assistant principal in the school, who's a Marine, ran out to his car and got his .45 and chased the kid down and stopped him.
That I know. That story I know.
And what if that principal had been allowed to keep his gun in the school? Could he have stopped the shooting? He's a Marine with a .45. He's a pretty good candidate to do so.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more.
It's just ludicrous. I mean, the argument that these people always give when something like the shooting at the movie theater happens is they say, well, you know, if more people had guns, it's just going to be chaos. But no, you have no proof of that. Or you're going to shoot some innocent person. Well, if you don't take a shot at this guy with the shotgun, he's definitely going to shoot more innocent people.
Exactly. That's the interesting part, is that the argument here that I'm hearing from most of these people is that the intent of the responsible gun owner who gets in a confrontation with someone who wants to start carnage, you know, or wants to wreak havoc on the school, what I find amazing about this is that they don't even want to trust that individual to handle the situation. In essence, they want to tell everyone else in America, you wait until the people we say are the professionals to come in there and handle it. The rest of you cower in fear or die.
Yeah. And they don't understand that police departments have been sued in the past for failing to protect citizens in time of danger. And the courts always say police have no obligation to protect you.
Regardless of what it says on the side of the unit, right?
Police are there to write paperwork and mop up the bloodstains afterwards. And that's it. Cops don't have to take care of you. Tell my daddy was a cop. That's some southern shit right there. My daddy was a cop. And he said, cops aren't there to help you. Carry a gun. Take care of yourself. The only person who can protect you is you.
That's the bottom line. All right, we're going to take a break in about 30 minutes. I want to get into the conversation about the over-reporting and the overexposure of the kids who were killed in the Sandy Hook carnage. So we'll get back to that as soon as we return right here on Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
Just stop taking me for a ride.
Come on, come on, come on.
All I wanna do is take my time.
Take your time, baby. Take your time, baby. Come on.
Just stop taking me for a ride. All I wanna do is take my time.
I'ma stand up for autographs, do mic test rehearsals. 8 years of man living, ain't no edit talk commercial. Flick the God like mummy, but my own one of them. Talk some facts on how they act, don't spin on the limit. Ain't no need to dwell, the help of faking a jack. Ride niggas get to sit in career, so play the parts of roast. Suppose I have my whole life on it. Funny how those you love, love the evil they do. I brew the medicine to heal a bit of verbals we have. But your ideas of heal is let the surface of it gap. Navigation nearly took me on some cruise type expense. Dispensing me some shitty canal. I took the juice because I'm used to one way. Tours and destinations of ways in life. I pretend the knife stuck in my spine to be a symbol. How Jack can be nimble, but it's time to make that foggy vision crystal. We got to get the crystal right.
Taking me for a ride. All I wanna do is take my time. Just stop taking me for a ride. All I wanna do is take my time.
I don't wanna go that far. For sell my soul, I ain't gonna go that far. I'm taking minds and hearts beyond the shining star. Raw dick, honey, I don't wanna go that far. But listen, why you risking your mentality against mine? Sick of leading love, sick of leading love. Leaving love lies facing the vehicle of mine. They wanna do a war speed of 999. Watch me, profiling, don't fill out for so-called friends. The mercury and water, we just don't blend. I end the game technically, you wanna stop me. True gem, show affection like Jody.
Posture of this world is seen as mad crooks. sick in due time, we feel, man.
Just stop taking me for a ride.
Stop gassing me, stop gassing me.
All I wanna do is take my time.
All we want to deal is reality.
Just stop taking me for a ride.
Stop gassing me, stop gassing me.
Cause all I wanna do is take my time.
Take my time, take my time. Come on.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
About 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Again, we're going to have Cameron Reedy on the show. Maybe it's Reddy. It might be Reddy. Anyway, Cameron Reddy, who is the author of By Force of Patriots. We'll have him on at 9 o'clock at the top of the hour. He'll be talking gun control and whether or not I guess he and I will be either disputing or maybe agreeing that the gun rights argument or the gun control argument is a farce or is BS. I don't know. We'll find out, one or the other. The reason why we're having the discussion, of course, is because that's all anyone's talking about. And I do want to say this, that after today, folks, I don't want to hear any more about this tragedy. I don't want to hear any more about it. Unless it's something that, I mean, we definitely need to know, but it can't be dominating the news in the way that it has. And let me explain to you why. 26 people, 20 of them children, were killed. It's a fact. They were killed by a young man who some people argue had some form of autism, Asperger's disease. I wrote it on my blog. The conversation is going to have to go towards there if it's true that he was autistic. It's got to go there. It's got to go there. The autism groups out there, Autism Speaks, you know, who's going to do it? Jim Kelly? Who else is an Autism Speak? Boomer Esiason? Doug Flutie? All of those people. Can we get a volume on that or something?
Yeah.
Thanks, honey. Bottom line is that those people are going to have to come out. They've got to fight. They have to fight for the reputation of autism. They have not got no damn choice. If it's revealed that this kid was autistic, he's supposed to be something. And it turns out, this is the scary part, it turns out, folks, that I may have been right about this whole thing with the Dustin Hoffman Rain Man character. They're saying this kid was an idiot savant. Okay, that's my term, not theirs. But this kid may have been a savant. Not that he was faking it. It was just that he was really, really smart, very, very bright, but just antisocial. May have had Asperger's. Didn't want mommy to touch him. Don't hug me, don't hug me, don't hug me. Get your hands away from me. Don't touch my whoopee. Gosh, crap like that. So the autism argument is going to have to be made. They're steering clear of it because they're scared to death to bring it up. Because the autism activists, they will go nuts. Don't you dare associate this man with autism. Say he's crazy. Say he's a lunatic. But don't you dare bring up he's autistic. You understand the lobbying we do in Washington? Do you know how much money we get? Do you know how prominent we are in Washington? Don't you dare associate this boy with Asperger's or autism at all. Don't you dare. And they're scared to do it. But what if he is? Anyway, back to my point about this whole thing about bringing it up over there. Remember, over 300 people died due to guns that were straw-bought and took over the Mexican border and killed 300 to 400 Mexicans. And two, if not three, U.S. border agents or law enforcement officials. The media wanted no part of it. You have, in a calendar year, kids in Chicago getting shot and killed by the numbers. Where was the outrage for gun control? And you know what the truth is, folks. You know, it's racism all the time here on Reese on the Radio. You know why. Pretty little white kids. Just like every argument's made in the black community. Nobody cared about crack until white folks started doing it, till it ended up on Wall Street, till prominent honkies started getting high.
Losing all their shit.
Yeah, we're losing all their stuff. When it started hurting little Rebecca, who used to be...
I lived in Fredericksburg, and I seen a white dude sit in the parking lot in the back. In a brand new Mustang, smoking crack.
Wow!
I was like, wow! I was like, this shit has hit the fan.
And that's what it was. So again, there were black kids sitting in Chicago right now, right? Sitting in Chicago right now, going, what? We lost 800 people, close to 1,000 people in our hood. 26 people die in a small little town in Connecticut, and the country's outraged. And you should be outraged. But we're getting dissed. Let's bring on Mike again. White Mike.
Everybody.
Can you dispute anything that I just said here? It's overblown.
Because everybody knows that the most valuable human beings in America are pretty white women.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a pretty white woman and some shit happens to you, you're going to be national news. The second most important thing after that is white kids. The least valuable is a tie between illegal Mexican immigrants and black teenagers. Because nobody gives a shit. Because we figure, you know, we don't be crass, but when you see inner city Negroes from Chicago die, all that's really happening there is you're lessening the burden on the taxpayer in the future.
Wow.
Because they're not going to go to jail and they're not going to pop out, you know, 15 kids with 15 baby mamas. So nobody cares because they're written off people. But people think that pretty white women and white children have some innate value. And maybe they fucking do. I don't know.
I say that they have an innate value to the media because it's a glamorous thing to see. I mean, for the media, it's glamorous for the media to have a beautiful white woman missing, murdered, die, you know, or in an accident. That's attractive.
Look at Lindsay Lohan, right? Lindsay Lohan has been in some trouble, but not major trouble. And her trouble is all over the media.
Right.
Cat Williams has been on a crazy Negro streak for 3 years.
Who's this? Cat Williams.
Yeah. Cat's been slapping people at Walmart and carrying guns in airports. Nobody says anything about Cat Williams. He's not the number one story on TMZ. And I guarantee you he's got more money than Lindsay Lohan.
That's right. And he's a blip on the radar.
And he's doing some really crazy stuff. Lindsay Lohan didn't clap anybody at Best Buy.
Did Cat Williams really do that at Best Buy?
Yeah, Cat's going crazy. He just like assaulted somebody in some store 2 weeks ago. And got on TV and said, well, Target or something. He said, oh, they're just picking on me. It's like, no, dude, you slap people in a store on video. You know? If I was him, I'd be pissed. I wasn't more famous.
Right. Yeah, why is my story not all over the cover?
Yeah, well, he just walked away from the entertainment industry, period, Cat Williams.
What's the brother got to do to get some press? you got to stab a white woman?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's what he's got to do. He's got to slap the white woman.
You know, it's funny that you brought this up, Reese, because I said the same thing about President Obama and his visit.
Oh, absolutely. You were one of the first.
He didn't campaign here.
You're damn sure right.
At all.
He damn sure didn't.
Well, how come he's not making a big stink about his dead homeboys in Chicago? You know, how racist is Obama? He doesn't care about those dead Negroes. He didn't care at all.
Oh, and Mike, do not believe for one second that the blacks have not noticed. I mean, I've got a couple of radical friends on my Facebook page. I mean, if you go to my Facebook page, look up my friends, and look at some of these African names that are on there. read some of the stuff that they post now that they're posting about Barack Obama with these outrage, because they're saying to themselves, where has this guy been when things have happened in Chicago, when situations in Africa, like, where has this guy been? And to see him out there with these white families, they feel really slighted.
Oh, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry you lost little Destiny or Brittany or Cameron or whatever the hell these yuppie white people name their kids.
I'll tell you why I'm upset about this whole over-coverage thing, though. Because, look, I don't know about you, but are any of your friends posting on Facebook the pictures of these kids?
Oh, no. My friends all tend to be pretty conservative, gun-owning Southern people. Nobody cares. They're not going to jump onto this turn-in-my-gun nonsense like some of these idiots are doing.
And, you know, all my friends are posting. All my friends are from here.
Well, I understand that, but I don't need the exploitation of dead children. Why do people believe that we need to see that?
Yeah, and why are they so concerned about this and not the other stuff that kills kids every day? I mean, how many kids die in car accidents or, you know, get in their daddy's crack pipe and overdose every day or get into prescription pills? Or, you know, nobody cares. There's a lot of more dangerous stuff in the world than guns. a lot more.
You know why? Because these liberals, it's their biggest fear to happen to themselves. They don't want to get shot. They're scared that somebody's going to shoot them.
Well, I don't want to get shot either. That's why I carry a pistol.
But that's my point. They're too scared to carry a gun themselves, though. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like none of these people would ever own a gun. You know, guys like Bob Costas, which we talked about on the show, of course he's talking about everybody else owning a gun. But when it comes to his own protection, he likes the fact that these people are there to hold a gun to protect his life because he's a narcissistic douchebag.
But then look at what's her name, Dianne Feinstein. Oh, as soon as she got in some trouble, she pulled strings and got a CCW in San Francisco, which is impossible. You can't get a CCW in California.
Impossible.
Unless you know people. So she had to use her power and influence to get something, but you peons, you can't own one. And she didn't once say she regretted it or she gave it up or she sold her gun, did she?
No.
She still has a .38. I guarantee it.
I bet you she was on Gwen Ifill when I played that audio with a gun on her. I bet
you
was
in a sure, man. I mean, it freaks me out that there are people that are that blind. Like, if you're a woman or you're black or shit, if you're Jewish and you can't look at history and understand that maybe you need a gun, then you're freaking retarded.
You know, again, these people, if they were to ever get shot, guy walked up to them, pulled a gun on them, didn't like their politics, didn't like their personality, and shot them, and they survived. If you walked up to them afterwards and said, do you wish you had a gun on you? Of course, each and every one of them would have said, yeah.
Except James Brady.
And
that's
James Brady
didn't know. That's because he got his brain scrambled by his whore wife.
And James Brady, the only reason why he feels that way is because somebody snuck attacked. Brady looks at the shooting, his shooting and the shooting of Ronald Reagan from a very different point of view. He got shot by surprise. And he looks at that from a very, very skewed point of view. He's worried about somebody just randomly walking up and shooting a weapon. And that's from the perspective he's coming from. But
well, I mean, look. I'm kind of a pragmatist, I guess. Maybe that's not the right word. That, you know, bad stuff's going to happen. You can't legislate people into not being crazy, and sometimes you're going to have to pay the price for your freedom with a few people getting shot. That sucks. You know, that's just how it is.
You know,
a few people getting shot every now and then does not mean that we have to give up our rights to defend ourselves against those who are bigger, stronger, and meaner, and quite possibly police and the government. You know, firearms are the teeth of our liberty, so said Thomas Jefferson. That's why we have them. It's to prevent the government from taking your shit.
I've devised a way, after some long, careful thinking, I've devised a way to push forward gun control that I think will work for everybody. And I'm not going to reveal it now because it's a lengthy
still a work in progress?
Explanation.
Uh-huh.
But I'll bring it up on Friday.
Okay.
And I'll take about 10 minutes. I'm pretty sure. I mean, this has to work for everybody. It'll have to work.
Really?
And it's the easiest way out of this situation.
Hmm.
Well, I will tell you as your friend, I will tell you, go buy yourself an AR-15 tomorrow. If you can find one. Go buy one.
Well, gun sales are soaring. They are soaring up the wazoo,
they've
dude.
They've been soaring. If I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd think that the Democrats all own stock in gun companies.
Well, it turns out that a California Teachers Group, did you see this on Drudge Report? A California Teachers Association, they've invested in one of the gun companies.
Well, if you're a guy running an investment fund like that, maybe you do want to invest in stuff that went up 700% in the last 4 years.
Oh, it's absolutely. It's when I read it, I was like, are you serious? In fact, hold on. Let me see if I can find the link here. It says, I know it's a California school district that's actually done it. And I think they've probably taken it down now because it was on earlier on Drudge Report. But it was hilarious when I read it. I said, you know, this is so typical that these people are probably the same ones who were saying, we need to get guns off the street. But, you know, they never miss it. You know, as Rahm Emanuel once said, you know, always take advantage of a crisis.
Well, do you know what the connecting thread between all these mass shooters has been and nobody brings it up?
What's that?
Antidepressant use.
Oh, yeah.
All these people are on crazy pills. The shooters at Columbine were. Kip Kinkle was. I think, no, Luke Woodham wasn't. Sung-hee Cho was. The guy at Aurora was. This guy was. How much of this is caused by the psychotropic drugs, we have no idea. But nobody will dare point a finger at Big Pharma for making these people crazy.
Or if not making them, but enhancing that looniness.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever heard the, like for Prozac, if you watch the commercial, at the end of it they have the disclaimer, and it's, you know, the blah, 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 might cause suicidal or homicidal thoughts.
Wait a minute, that's for Prozac?
Yeah, all those SSRIs have the potential for making you go crazy.
Really?
And
you know, they
say it's
so
like
fast that you really don't think about it.
Yeah, they'll make you crazy.
They say it so fast that you really don't think about it.
I watch those things all the time, but I've never seen that for Prozac. Now I have to pay more attention to that.
Yeah, they all have the potential for making you crazy. Because the pharmaceutical companies don't know how these things work or why they work. When they prescribe people SSRIs, they give them one, and then they say, oh, it doesn't work, we'll give you another one. It's trial and error.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things are being repurposed into depression meds when they were actual heavy psychiatric drugs. So it's a nation of people who are fed mind control drugs.
Yeah.
And you combine that with guys playing, you know, I like video games, but look, I've played some of the modern first-person shooter games.
Yeah.
And when the technology you're putting in your kid's bedroom is the exact same technology we use to train soldiers how to kill people with no emotion, something's wrong. I mean,
yeah.
Those things are murder simulators. I mean, people talk about like Grand Theft Auto. No, those are not murder simulators. First-person shooters where all you see is your rifle sight and realistic people you shoot go down in a bloody heap, that's a murder simulator. And maybe it's not good to train kids from a young age how to kill people.
And to do it without malice.
Yeah, without malice. And to be rewarded for it. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's even bigger.
I've watched kids play those things, man, and they zone out. They look like the Manchurian Candidate when they play those games.
All right, folks. We're going to go to the top of the hour. We'll come back with Cameron Reddy. At the top of the hour, the author of By Force of Patriots, at the top of the hour, we'll be talking gun control with him. Furthering this conversation, we got a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about. Mike, we're going to be talking marijuana tonight, so you want to stick around, man. We got to talk about that Washington DUI charge. So we'll get into that when we get back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, It allows for people to protect themselves even from the government if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't unemployment a problem anymore? I'm Chuck Woolery. To talk to me directly, go to Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Sports gets so much attention and so many people tune out the real world that I try to take advantage of the opportunities to talk about the real world when sports lends itself to that and try to open people's eyes. I did not go as far as I would like to go because my thoughts on the NRA and America's gun culture, I believe the NRA is the new KKK.
Wow.
And that the arming of so many black youth and loading up our communities with drugs and then just having an open shooting gallery is the work of people that, you know, obviously don't have our best interest.
And we are back, Reese on the Radio, 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. JC is on the line trying to get Cameron ready on the line. I really hope that JC is able to get this, hope that he can get this guy on the phone. To give you a little info on Cameron Ready, before we get him on the line, and I'm really, really ticked off that JC's having a problem with this phone, they said Cameron Ready is going to talk about owning a military-grade assault rifle with a 30-second magazine, a constitutional right. He's going to answer that question. Said if a ban would save just one life, why doesn't the NRA support that? He says there's talk of violence if guns are banned. Your novel is about gun confiscation and armed revolt. Is it really possible, or is it just fear-mongering? He'll also answer, how on earth could anyone argue that more guns, even guns in schools, could help? Isn't that insane? I don't know what that's saying. It sounds like I'm getting a pretty good sense of where this guy's coming from. Another one that's on his resume here, or at least his press release, is, we can regulate cars, dangerous machines, and risky and other dangerous things. We even regulate speech. Can we regulate assault rifles? He literally has that on here. So we're going to figure out exactly where it comes from. Cameron Ready has a what is that? I will ask him what this is. He's from the University of Michigan Law School, a graduate of the famed Gunsight Firearms Training Academy in Arizona, has taught concealed license holders on lawful use of deadly force, as well as proper and safe gun usage for over 10 years, and a contributor at American Thinker and the author of Solonsky's Rules 13 and 14. So I can imagine from now what I'm reading here Cameron Ready and I are on the same page here. At least, well, one can only hope. Let's invite him on the air. Reese on the Radio tonight. Give a warm welcome to Mr. Cameron Ready, author of By Force of Patriots. Cameron.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on, Reese. It's a pleasure and an honor. And I don't want to call it a dissertation because that almost sounds derogatory, because it's certainly not. But the longest paragraph perhaps in the history of radio, maybe, on your life story. And, oh, my goodness, is that fascinating. Wow. You
are you
have
talking,
some...
Oh, are you talking about, you're talking about my bio? My bio?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, and I, you know, I wish, wow, dissertation, yeah, I wouldn't call it insulting. That's an odd word to use, but it's my history, and for considering who it is that I am and the type of personality that I am a God-fearing, honest person, and I leave nothing for others to dictate, so to speak. I like telling people who it is that I am without them having to read other people's interpretations of my life. And I keep, you know, I don't hide anything.
Yeah, but the ability, not many people, and not many people would be able to tell a prosecuting attorney, no, you know what, I'm going to go to trial. I'm not going to take a reduced plea here. I'm taking this to the mat. And that's expensive. It's gutsy. When you, especially when you're looking about going back into the clink, that was a big deal. And absolute, obviously, an absolute travesty of the legal justice system. You were played, and it is one of the, you know, I mean, as an attorney, when I see something like this, I'm just horrified, because it's not supposed to work like that. The justice system is supposed to work better than that, and it worked backwards on you. But you beat it, you fought it, and it's wow, just fantastic.
Well, I look at it this way, and then we'll get into the other things. And I'm impressed to know that you're an attorney, because off the phone, I want to ask you an actual legal question. I want to know whether or not what your thoughts are, not so much legal advice, but what your thoughts are in regards to that. But the interesting thing about that is that what I've learned with the criminal justice system, and I'll say this and then we'll get into our topic. The day before I got arrested, when I was on radio in – well, 6 days before I got arrested, when I was on the radio in Boston, my thought was the criminal justice system is here to protect the innocent and it is here to seek out justice. I believe in it and I support it 100%. Then I got arrested, and when it was revealed to me that I was being accused of rape in a month and a year that I did not live in New York City, and the prosecutor some years later then changed the indictment date to a date that would support me being in New York, that was when I finally realized that the criminal justice system is not about seeking justice for not just the alleged victim or for that matter, the accused. It is to get or to obtain a conviction. This is about careers. This is about, you know, this is about getting, you know, another notch on your belt. When you have that kind of thought process, when your tunnel vision is to get a conviction, not seek out the truth, that's when our criminal justice has completely failed. And I'll tell you a great quote that I heard many years ago. We did a story on it at the beginning of the year. This one investigator who said, and I quote, "It seems like the criminal justice system had never met someone who wasn't raped." You know, it was like no matter who it was, if they say there was. On a final note about that, a woman that you're familiar with by the name of Linda Fairstein, who prosecuted the five boys, the Central Park Five, back in 1989, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Linda Fairstein.
I didn't follow it closely, but vaguely.
Okay. Well, I'm know you remember the Central Park jogger case and, you know, the five boys who were acquitted and then later their convictions were vacated. Linda Fairstein wrote a book called Sexual Violence in 1993. In that book, and I read it from cover to cover, she writes in the book of all of the – because she was part of the sex crimes unit. She started the sex crime unit in New York. She said of all the rapes that she had covered, only 5% of them were false claims. 10 years later, in a Cosmopolitan article called Why Women Lie About Rape, in that article she's quoted as saying, in the 4,000 cases of rape that she prosecuted, 50% of them were false. That's a 10-year span.
Wow. Wow.
Now that, my friend, is amazing. So let's get to our topic. You're an authority here on gun control, and we've been talking here. White Mike, one of our contributors to the show, is a great friend of our show. Is really, really very astute on this, and we're going to bring him in a second. Let me ask you a few questions because we only got you for a little while.
Hey, by the way, I'd be happy to talk with you as long as you'd like. So.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it. Good, because we'd like to keep you on longer. Cameron, what do you think about this? Well, it's not a new lobby, but let's say this re-engaged lobby to promote more and more regulations on guns in the United States today.
Well, first off, I mean, they're trying to do the right thing. I think both sides of this debate want the same thing. We want to reduce the slaughter of innocent people. We want to reduce crime. And nothing is more horrific than what just occurred. Nothing. But the problem is, how can we reduce these incidences? And what concerns me about the gun control people is what they're doing is not only not helpful, it's actually making the situation worse.
How so? Please elaborate on that part. How are they making it worse?
Every mass public shooting in the last 62 years, at least 62 years, has occurred in an area that has been designated by statute or by a sign on the wall in the door, this is a gun-free zone.
Gotcha.
And what happens is you intersect that with the cultural phenomenon of having some really, really messed up people that want to commit suicide. 75% of these people doing these things end up committing suicide. What they want to do is they want to go out in a blaze of glory. They want their name publicized. They want to be somebody. And they can be somebody by killing more people than whoever did it the last time.
Gotcha.
However, more horrific. I mean, what could be more horrific than shooting up a first grade class, wiping it out?
Oh, forget about it. You're infamous. I mean, you're Charles Manson at that point.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. This is beyond comprehension. And he knows, they know their name is going to be immortalized. So what we have, CBS did a profile of this kid, and I don't mention his name. I don't mention killers' names because this is
okay.
What they want.
Right.
They did a profile of this killer and said he was a hunter. No, I'm sorry, I'm mixing them up. I'm talking about the mall shooting in Clackamas.
Yes.
They said he was a hunter. They profiled him, and because he went to a place where he could kill a maximum number of people, a food court, and he went heavily armed, blah, 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 he's a hunter. Well, what they don't say, is that he went also to a safe place to hunt. And that's what's going on. As a matter of fact, let's take as another example, the Colorado movie shooting, the Cinemark.
In Aurora.
The Batman shooting.
Sure.
There were 7 movie theaters within a 20-minute drive of his apartment. He drove past movie theaters that were closer to him. He drove past movie theaters that had more people. Some of the movie theaters were advertising the largest auditorium to watch this movie, and they were showcasing the Batman movie in the largest auditorium. He drove past them. He drove to the only one of those 7 movie theaters, the only one that prohibited handguns carried by concealed carry holders.
Really?
He went to the only one that he knew there would be nobody who could shoot back.
Right. No opposition, no challenge, none whatsoever.
He safe place to hunt. Now let's interject another concept here. In many of these instances, in many of these mass shootings, and we'll call attention to some of the most recent here. The shooter was stopped either by bullets, by the show of a gun, or by the noise of good guys arriving on the scene. The presence of armed people stopped these instances in many in many cases. So let's look at a couple of examples. Colorado, New Life Church. Guy shoots two people in the parking lot, makes his way into the church. The church is just letting out. There are 7,000 people in this auditorium. This guy's armed with got 1,000 rounds of ammo on him. Fortunately, a concealed carry holder was standing there, had been asked previously by the church, please keep an eye on us. You're trained in this. Please keep an eye on this. She sees this guy and puts 10 rounds in him before he can kill anyone else. That's one. Now let's go to the Portland Mall shooting. This is something that you won't see advertised on MSNBC. Turns out, even though it was a gun-free zone and there were signs up that said concealed carry holders, no can do, you do not bring your guns in here, turns out one guy did. And when the shooter was having a problem getting his gun to cycle, which is, we can talk about high-capacity magazines and the problems with them, they tend to jam guns.
Right.
Gun was jammed, concealed carry holder, draws his firearm, goes up in an isosceles triangle, puts the gun right on this guy's face. Guy looks at him, shooter looks at him, realizes the gig is up. Now, the concealed carry holder did not fire, and he didn't fire because he saw an innocent behind the shooter.
Right. He didn't want any collateral damage.
Now, this is remarkable. I've taught this for over 10 years, and this is amazingly remarkable. I normally tell my students, you will not be that good. In the heat of the moment, I tell my students, you will not rise to the occasion. You will fall to the base level of your training. And numerous things happen from a psychological and physiological standpoint when you're in what I refer to as the death battle, and he was in the death battle at that moment.
Right.
Nonetheless, despite all of the things that would have militated against him being able to see an innocent behind the shooter, he sees the innocent and he doesn't pull the trigger, but it didn't matter. Shooter realized the gig was up, walked off, and killed himself.
Right. Mike brought that up at the beginning of the show because I did not know that about this incident.
Yep.
That there was someone with a weapon who drew his weapon, I guess, on the shooter, and then of course, in essence, it stabilizes the situation. The guy offs himself.
Yep. And now let's look at what just happened in Newtown. The kid walking around it leisurely killing people until what? He hears the sirens. Until he realizes the cavalry's coming. And at that point, he says the gig's up, and he shoots himself. Time after time after time, somebody on the scene with a firearm, trained to use it, stops these instances. And so when you put the two and two together, what we have to realize is that a firearm on location, as it's occurring, in the hands of somebody trained to use it, is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Oh, my gosh, you want to put – there's a guy on the radio here in Michigan, Jeffrey Feiger. You might have heard his name. He's the represented Dr. Death, Dr. Kevorkian, the guy that was
– Right, sure.
Jeffrey Feiger has made a bajillion dollars in plaintiff's lawsuits. Well, he's a political activist, and he's running an ad. Can you believe what the Michigan legislature just did? On the very day of the Newtown shooting, they passed a law to allow more guns in schools. Is that crazy? These people are sick. Backed by the radical Tea Party movement and bought by the gun lobby, these people, sick, 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 sick. Well, it turns out that was successful because the governor today vetoed the bill. Vetoed the one darn thing that would protect schools, that is, people in the schools trained to use their guns there when it happens. Nope, we're going to veto that. So what we're doing, what the gun lobby is succeeding in doing, is shooting itself in the foot, is succeeding in making these environments more lucrative and easier for hunters to hunt.
So now this is an interesting perspective, and I want to ask you one more. Was that also the same case with the Virginia Tech shooting? Did and I always forget his name. Is it Cho?
Yeah.
Cho, well, was his the same circumstances when he took his own life?
I don't think, as I'm trying to recall the exact, I don't think that he was confronted.
I know the police did arrive, and I know they found his body. Let's bring in Mike real quick, because Mike knows the Virginia Tech shooting a little better than I do. It appears, Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't know
if Cho was directly confronted, but you've never heard of a mass shooter engaging in a shootout with the police.
Very rare. Well, not necessarily.
The only one I remember was the guy who shot up the foreign church in Wisconsin.
Sikh Temple.
Right. He shot a cop in the parking lot.
The Columbine kids were in a small war, were they not?
Right. I think that the way that ended was that I did think that they had always planned to shoot each other, but they hadn't done that, or at least committed that part of the act, until, of course, police arrived.
Well, there was one cop that emptied his a magazine.
Okay.
Adam, but there's no question. You're absolutely right, though. Is it Mike? Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. These guys, they're not interested in a gun battle. They're interested in just killing as many innocents as possible.
I'm a big believer in carrying enough gun, okay? But realistically, you can't always carry your Glock 30 because it's big. So
right.
I have smaller things that I carry. Sometimes I carry a North American Arms 22 mini revolver. And I guarantee you, if I point that at somebody and shoot them with it, they're going to change their mind.
Well, how about this? Just point it at me. You know what I like to tell people? I ask people, because they say, well, how big a gun should we have, Cam? And I say, well, let me ask you this question. Everybody raise their hand that is interested in getting shot by a 22.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've shown people my little North American Arm. That's a little one with the 1 3/4 inch barrel. It's tiny. And nobody's ever said, please shoot me with it.
Yeah, ever. Yeah, do a little Derringer. If we go to pellet gun, maybe I'd be willing to,
You can shoot me with a Red Ryder BB gun. That's about it.
Yeah.
No 177 pellet gun. That's going to hurt. That's going to break the skin.
Yeah.
No,
you're
at Trinity with that.
Yeah.
Folks, if you're just joining us, we're on the phone with Cameron Reddy, who is the author of By Force of Patriots. We're having a discussion about gun control, of course, with our good friend and contributor, White Mike. Let me ask you this, gentlemen, because you guys are not only gun owners, but gun advocates. And the argument that's clearly being made here by many on the left who I believe are extremely radical. And I'll ask you this, Cameron. If indeed they had their way, what do you believe that they're proposing here for the rest of the country in regards to the Second Amendment? Is it extreme? Is eliminating the Second Amendment? Is it part and parcel of removing parts of the Second Amendment? What is their goal here?
Well, let's look at what their mindset is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may have a shorter-term goal, and at the moment they're only revealing a short-term goal. But we can figure out what their long-term goal is pretty easily. I don't know if you've heard John Lott describe this, but he was at the University of Chicago. Professor Lott was at the same time that Barack Obama was a contributing lecturer there. He was never a professor there; he was a lecturer. And Barack Obama walked up to him at one point. They met each other at some point, and Barack Obama looked at him and said, "Hey, you're the gun guy, right?" And John Lott looked at him and said, "Yes, I am." At which point Barack Obama said, "Yeah, well, I don't believe anybody should be able to own guns." Now, that's the mindset of these people. That's where they're coming from. Let's look at the District of Columbia v. Heller, the Supreme Court decision in 2008 that affirmed that the Second Amendment does, in fact, apply to individuals. Let's go back and remember what the argument was.
Mm-hmm.
The argument was that the Second Amendment only applies to a state militia, that individuals do not have the right to have their own firearms. No. The only thing the Second Amendment affirms is that the federal government cannot disarm a state militia. Now, four of the five Supreme Court justices were of that opinion. Four of the five. I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, a bastion of socialism in the Midwest. If I walk down the street and walk up to one person and say, "Do you believe the Second Amendment applies to individuals?" They'll look at me like I'm from Mars. And they'll say, "No, it doesn't. It applies to a state militia." So there is a huge section of the United States of America that believes that decision was wrongly decided. And if you read Justice Stevens' dissent, he makes an impassioned, unbelievably wrong argument based on historical facts. He contends that there is no possible way the Founding Fathers intended this to confer an individual right. No possible way. That's what Justice Stevens' dissent says. Well, I'm here to tell you, if Barack Obama replaces one of the conservative justices on the Supreme Court, and it's very likely that he will.
Sure.
Now it goes the other way. Now a majority of the Supreme Court is of the opinion that Heller was wrongly decided. Now, it's not easy for a sitting Supreme Court, to overturn a prior decision.
Mm-hmm.
But it does happen. But it's also possible for them to scale it back, to trim it back. Here's how they do it in my novel. Somehow or another, I guessed right. And I knew Barack Obama was going to get reelected, and I wrote this novel. I finished it, an original version, actually in 1999. A lot of people say, "Oh, you wrote an anti-Obama novel." No, not really. I finished it in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I revised it for Barack Obama. But in my novel, I have a realigned Supreme Court taking a very close look at Justice Stevens' dissent and saying, "You know what? He was right. But we're not necessarily going to overturn Heller. But what we are going to do is, and in this particular instance, I have a law coming up from Oregon, which is absolutely absurd. The law, and this is actually a law that was proposed by the Department of Disarmament Affairs in the United Nations. They actually proposed at one point that all firearms should have no more than four rounds in a chamber or magazine, and fire a bullet no further than 75 yards.
Jeez.
Well, of course, that would mean no gun exists like that, and a gun that only shoots about 75 yards, it would be ineffective. But,
right.
So Oregon passes this fictitious law. The Ninth Circuit affirms it. It comes up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, you know what? Heller was wrongly decided. And the one thing that Barack Obama has made clear, the United States of America is really just another member of the international community. We're not exceptional any more than Greece is exceptional. Mm-hmm. So there is really something to be said for the laws of the United States to stray not too far from international norms. And since this law that Oregon has passed is consistent with international requirements, we think that it's okay. Wham. Your Second Amendment just got trashed by the United States Supreme Court without overturning Heller, but by looking to international law. Now, if you what's happening right now, the Small Arms Treaty is exactly where Barack Obama's going with this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been reading about the Small Arms Treaty for a while now, and that, in essence, would be I almost feel like it's an international takeover of the Second Amendment in one country. I find it almost amazing that this country or any person in this country would advocate it, but I understand Hillary Clinton is on board. UN Ambassador Susan Rice is on board. Of course, Barack Obama and his cabinet is on board. Not one person is even flinching at the idea.
Concept just kind of makes me laugh that the government thinks that they're potent enough to pull that off. They can't even stop Mexicans from sneaking across the border, and we know they're coming. Are you going to get 300 million Americans to turn in their firearms? Are you going to go door to door and take them? Who's the cops going to sign up for that detail in Alabama?
Well, interesting that you mentioned that. Barack Obama talked, and this I lay this out in my novel. This is you're asking me for my novel here.
Yeah, okay.
Barack Obama said that we need a domestic defense force outfitted just as expensively as the United States military. So what if we create this new domestic defense force and staff it with formerly illegal aliens?
Well, yeah, but they still don't want to get shot by Cletus in Alabama.
With officers called from the United Nations.
Trust me, I'm from the deep, deep South. You're not going to pull it off, period. I grew up with Cajun. Have you seen the show Swamp People? Those are my people. Are you going to go take, you going to take T-Boy's AK in the swamp? No, you better bring a lunch and body bags.
But I'll tell you what, I mean, the SWAT team, I've got all sorts of friends. In fact, I'm buying an AR-15 tomorrow morning because they're gone.
Mark,
you know, it's so funny that you said that, because that's exactly what Mike said before you were on. It's like, if anything, go get an AR-15 now, because they're going to be in limited supply.
Yeah, well, buy an AR-15, buy an AK, buy something, buy a mini
sport. Here's an interesting thing. I found out today that there are only 9,000 AR-15s purchased by legal gun owners. Only 9,000 legally purchased in the country at this time.
What? No.
That's what I heard. I don't know if that's a rumor, but that's what
I heard today. I guarantee you they sold 9,000 yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. The store a mile from me sold 9 or 10 of them today.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I walked in at 6:30, and these guys have my book for sale. I mean, they know me. And I walk in, and they're all, hey, Cam. And I look on their wall, and there's all empty spaces all over their wall. And it's like, do you want an AR-15? I said, uh-huh. Well, we got three of them left.
Well, if you're just joining us again, we're on the phone with Cameron Reddy, who's the author of By Fourth of Patriots. He is a gun advocate, a gun owner advocate. Cameron, let me ask you this. This is another question, because Mike and I have discussed this, and we've discussed this on the show plenty of times. And most of what it is that I've said has been hyperbole. But I'll ask you this. I'm sure Mike probably has an opinion on this as well. What do you think is the catalyst of the overwhelming number of people who are now buying guns? Do you think that it's part of this whole thing of fear of this Second Amendment deal? Does it have more to do with protecting themselves from more and more maniacs? Do they think that the end of the world is coming? Not by way of the Mayan calendar, but the end of the world's coming, where more and more people are in poverty and they're going to have to protect their stuff. Where do you think that's the genesis of most of this is coming from?
Well, that's a great question. And my personal feeling is it's a little bit of all of it.
Okay.
And the reason I say is, I'm in a church small group, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. We get together once a week, and it's just 5, 6, 7, 8 guys from our church. And for a while, we had a fellow coming in who was a cross-cultural missionary. Well, I'd never heard of that. What the heck is that? Well, he and his family, and his white family, they had spent the last 6 years living in the quote-unquote hood in Detroit. And so he's living there, and of course I wouldn't have any idea of what that's like. But here's a guy who's lived there, and he looked at us one time, and he said, first off, I'm out of there because my brother or somebody in his family is in the Department of Homeland Security, and they said you better get out because in 2012, if Barack Obama doesn't win this re-election, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be violence, so you need to get out now. That was number one. And then he told me something that just stunned me. He looked at the group of us and said, you guys don't realize that 50 miles from here, and we're all sitting in Saline, Michigan, about 50 miles from downtown Detroit. He said, 50 miles from here, there is an entire race that is being bred to hate you.
Wow.
And I looked at him and said, what? You got to be kidding me. Well, I'm just telling you what he said. And I think that a lot of people, not all of the gun owners, but there, some segment of them, are truly afraid that if the economy goes absolutely sideways, if the Arabs succeed in setting off a nuclear blast in Dearborn, Michigan, if somebody sets off a dirty bomb on Main Street on Wall Street in New York, our economy will come to an absolute grinding halt. And when that occurs, the people out in the suburbs, some of them are afraid of people coming from the inner city out to get their stuff.
Damn well they should be.
Yep, and that's part of the fear. I think that's a segment of it. But there's also just, people are worried about, I'm not going to be able to buy it again. And some people are worried about the government literally coming and trying to confiscate. Mm-hmm. And they are thinking about shooting it out.
Do you remember... Cam, when the assault weapons ban went through, the first one, in what, 91, 92?
Yeah, 94.
The poorly written, useless bill. Well, when it went through, I happened to own a Colt H-bar, AR-15, pre-ban, with the bayonet lug and all that good stuff. I think I paid $700 for it when I bought it new. I sold it during the ban for $2,500. Because some idiot wanted to have one that had all cool stuff on it.
Yeah.
So I got my $2,500, and I already had an AK, so I was covered. Then once the ban lapsed, I bought a Bushmaster with the same damn feature, $700.
Wow.
So yeah. I made money and ended up with the same rifle 8 years later. And the one, if I would have bought one that was made during the ban, it's the same damn gun. It fires the same bullet. It does the same thing. It just didn't have some cool parts on it.
Well, here's
so
here's
people spent money to buy cosmetic features because they couldn't have them.
Right.
Well, but you know what, Mike, what you're touching on is something really, really, really important here. You're talking about the cosmetic features. I remember during the ban, I have a Benelli 90 shotgun, absolutely
okay.
Fantastic semi-auto shotgun. And I wanted to do two things to it. I wanted to put on an extended magazine tube so I could put more rounds in it, and I wanted to put a pistol grip on it. For a short while, I had, I put the extended magazine tube on. No, I'm sorry, it had a pistol grip. I'm backwards. I wanted to put the extended mag tube on, but I knew if I did that, I had to take off the pistol grip. So the first thing I did was I installed the extended magazine tube. At that moment, I was committing a felony.
Wow.
Because until I took the pistol grip off and put a regular stock on without a pistol grip, I was committing a felony.
Well, you remember when the Chinese brought over their boatloads of cheap AK clones, right? The Mac 90 and the Renzo?
Yeah.
They sold those, to get them through the ban, they put this unwieldy, unergonomic thumb hole stock on them. You'd go to a gun show all day, and you'd buy those AKs, and right next to them were pistol grip stock sets from China, sitting over in the same boatload with the same rifles. Everybody just bought the pistol grip, because no ATF agent's going to check your rifle at the range and make sure you have the right number of U.S.-made parts to make it legal. It was stupid.
Well, I was worried about it. But let's take this even – the idiocy of trying to label an assault rifle based on certain features that don't change the functional capabilities of the firearm.
Right.
You mean like a barrel shroud on a Tech 9?
Yeah. But here's the other idiocy of the law that they passed. In 1994, how many small, tiny, concealable pistols were in existence?
Oh,
very
a handful. Like the Colt Officer, some of the small Smith & Wessons, and a PPK.
Exactly. It was a PPK, or it was an officer's model. Those were your small guns. And the officer's is not an easy gun to conceal. So they passed the ban, and everybody realizes, well, we can't have a gun with a big grip on it, so we can't put that many bullets in it, so we might as well make smaller guns, since we can only put 10 rounds in it anyhow. Now, because of that assault weapons ban, we've got just a flood of easily concealable, some fantastic, tiny, small firearms.
Yeah, and I have a Carr P-45. It's a 45 ACP that's not much bigger than a PPK.
It's a fantastic
gun.
You guys, let me say this. I'm intrigued for one reason, because I'm listening to the two of you go back and forth. I've got two of probably the biggest gun enthusiasts I've ever met in my entire life with the two of you. I'm so glad that I've introduced you two. I don't mean that in a sarcastic way, because I'm intrigued as I'm listening to the two of you, because it's like this is. Exactly, and this isn't. There's no malicious sense of this. These are guys who are enthusiastic about guns, but I got to interject, because I have to get Cameron Reddy, who's on the show with us tonight, the author of By Force of Patriots. Please make sure that you go check it out. I want to ask you this. I know where Mike's opinion is on this, but since you're new to the show, and I've got to have you back, because this conversation is going to go on and on and on, Cameron. We know that. There's no end in sight, so to speak, that this gun conversation is going to go on at least until the beginning of next year. But I'm going to ask you this, and what we do here on Reese on the Radio, there's a lot of racial overtone here on the show. So I have to ask you this, as a gun enthusiast, someone who's written about this and understands the culture of guns, the media has been overwhelmingly talking about this Newtown, Connecticut shooting, of course the shooting in Portland, Oregon, and a series of others, as we know. Why do you believe that there have been no calls to action by gun advocates with the onslaught of murders that happened in Chicago And situations like the Fast and Furious scandal were completely ignored by the media. What is your opinion there on that?
Well, it's hard to not see the implication of your question. And it's not pleasant.
Cameron, I don't want you to co-sign where I'm coming from on this. I know what this is about. I've been in the media long enough to understand, but me who would more or less would agitate that conversation with most, I want this from an honest perspective, from a novelist, from an attorney, from someone who knows this and has been in this, because there were more murders. There's this argument that was made a couple of months ago. More murders took place in the month of, what was it, August or September in Chicago than there were in Afghanistan, where there's the longest war in history going on. But yet, the media wasn't screaming for gun control. Rahm Emanuel, who is now on the CBS Morning News talking about gun control after the Newtown shooting, was on 60 Minutes after the shootings that were skyrocketing in Chicago, was telling the gangs, take it into an alley. Leave our kids alone. Not stop shooting.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to avoid the implication, and I can't disagree with you. It was a bunch of white kids getting shot up. And that's what tugs the heart, apparently, of a lot of America, and they really are not paying that close of attention to what's happening in the inner cities.
We had a saying where I grew up in the Deep South. You call that nigger business.
Woo! Yeah,
that's just nigger business. And that's what you expect, and nobody cares. It's like if a dog bites a man, that's not news. If a man bites a dog, that's news.
Nobody gives a shit.
Mike,
you nailed it. That's the case. But you know what, Cameron? For your honesty and your candor, I only have one thing for you. Hold on real quick. Thank you for doing as they say in the hood. As they say in the hood, I'd like to thank you for keeping it real. Well, you kept it honest. I mean, it is true. It's a glamorous thing for the media to show young children, especially white children. And as Mike said earlier in the show, if the story leads with a white woman being kidnapped or murdered or, you know, whatever the case is, or missing for that matter, then that leads the news, especially 20 young white children in a, what's the term I'm looking for here?
An affluent
community in Connecticut. That leads the news, but a crap load of kids in Chicago. Let me play this for you. I'm going to see if I still have this audio. This, if you look this up, I want you to get a chance to look this up, Cameron, because we've talked about this plenty of times. This is CBS News in Chicago, not too far from you. And they played this audio. Each one is about, one's 33 seconds, another one's 20 seconds. This is Steve Bartlestein. It's CBS News in Chicago. They're covering the story of some violent shooting that happened in Chicago. Won't you hear this audio?
Meantime, two teenagers are wounded on the city's south side. It happened at East 74th. As an 18-year-old man and 16-year-old girl were hit while standing on the sidewalk. The male's in good condition while the girl's expected to recover. And kids on the street, as young as four, were there to see it all unfold and had a disturbing reaction.
No, I'm not scared of nothing.
When you get older, you're going to stay away from all these guns?
No.
No?
No.
What do you want to do when you get older?
We'll have me a gun.
That is very scary indeed. So far, no suspects are in custody.
So they videotape a four-year-old boy who says, I'm going to get me a gun. In essence, to exacerbate the whole idea that these kids are living in gun violence, and now they want a gun too, and they want to go around shooting people. But apparently there was another film crew there that got the entire audio of the four-year-old boy, and it turns out this is really what the four-year-old boy said.
Well, that's what I like to hear. You ain't scared of nothing. Damn. When you get older, you gonna stay away from all these guns?
No.
No?
No.
What do you want to do when you get older?
We'll have me a gun.
You are? Why do you want to do that? You know what happens
to me? I'm going to be the police.
Okay, well, then you can have one.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that shocking?
If you're going to be the jackbooted thug oppressor, you can have one. Nice.
Wow. You know, this is so distressing. We thought in the United States of America that our journalists were honest and had integrity and gave us a fair view of both sides of the coin, and we've learned that, unfortunately, they're anything but. And the journalists now are so clearly trying to advance their a political agenda that, I mean, they forged documents. Dan Rather knew that those documents on George Bush were forged. He knew they were forged. And it didn't matter to him. We're talking 60 Minutes because it
fit with
his political agenda.
But you know what? That thing, you know what that was about? You know what that was about? At that particular time, okay, the internet blogger was still not considered a formidable news outlet to places like CBS, NBC, and ABC. They were not being challenged at the degree that bloggers were. I mean, at that particular time, I mean, that story with CBS News and Dan Rather on 60 Minutes 2, in fact, it was on, when that story broke, it legitimized the blogger.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2004, that right there was the legitimate argument for how the blogger got their credibility. I mean, with the exception of guys like Andrew Breitbart, I apologize, Matt Drudge and the Monica Lewinsky scandal of 98.
Right. So, Cameron, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, as a disciple of the dearly departed Colonel Cooper, do you carry a customized 1911?
Yes.
And second question, is Rich Wyatt as big a douchebag as he appears on TV?
You know what? I don't even know who that is.
Rich Wyatt hosted the show American Guns on Discovery Channel.
What's that?
Was a gunfight instructor.
I have to plead ignorance, and I'll tell you something about me that you may find remarkable. I don't own a television.
Oh, yeah, believe it or not, I don't either, but I have a computer.
Yeah. So I haven't seen him.
American Guns was set in the Gunsmoke gun store in Colorado, and it's this family of a kind of a douchey dad, a mom with big fake boobs, a really talented engraver son, and a hot jailbait daughter who did things like custom make single action army knockoffs for $10,000.
Really?
Yeah. And, oh, yes, you can buy this Kimber 1911. We'll make you a 1911 that's better for $6,000. Like,
yeah.
That's better than a Kimber. Who are you lying to, man? And Discovery Channel just canceled the show after this.
I heard that today. Yeah,
which means no more hot jailbait daughter prancing around in Daisy Duke shooting guns. That's just America right there. That's America in a nutshell. A hot blonde in shorts with a gun.
Cameron, let me ask you a final question before we get out of here. Do you believe that at this point, where we are today, that this will just be a debate that, and because I understand mainstream media, but I believe that there's some real momentum in this story because of the victims being so young, being so innocent. Do you believe that this story or this argument of gun control only has enough momentum until the next quote-unquote crisis takes place? Are we just waiting for the next big story, or do you believe that this will continue on until, let's say, June of next year?
I think it's occurring at a good time for the gun control people. The Republican establishment is pretty defeated right now. And they don't really have, I mean, you can see it with what John Boehner is doing. They really don't have their heads together. They don't have the will to fight as hard as they need to. And I'm going to go spend over $1,000 tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock when the store opens. because I think that there is a very real possibility that they will get the House of Representatives to go along with a complete ban on semi-automatic rifles that look nasty, and guaranteed 30-round magazines are gone. Guaranteed.
So Ruger's sitting pretty again as they just introduced a 25-round magazine for the 10/22.
Well, we'll see. Well, I'm going to bet you it's going to go back to the pre-ban business. We're going to go back to 10-round magazines.
So is it going to be like before where the manufacturers get 12 months to run up a backlog of them?
I don't know. I mean, are they – last time, obviously, they allowed pre-ban. Pre-ban guns, pre-ban magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Will they do it this time? Yeah.
So are you going to tell the retailers who have them in stock? They can't sell their product?
Well, what they would probably do is give you a time when, you better sell what you've got, but you're not going to get any more. I don't know. I don't know.
It's just crazy. But, during the ban, you could buy 30-round AR-15 magazines for $10. You know what they were after the ban? $10. There were millions of them. And that's not even counting AK magazines. I mean, there have been like 30 million AK-47s manufactured worldwide. So what does that mean? 3 billion magazines are floating around?
Yeah.
At least?
Approximately. What you're also talking about, though, is it highlights the there are two gun control things that we could do. One is allow, as I mentioned, we talked about earlier, allow concealed carry people to actually have a firearm, have your school administrators trained, send them all to Gun Sight, Lethal Force Institute, Thunder Ranch, Front Sight, someplace like that, get them trained. But there's another way we could do this. It's a little more draconian, probably a little bit more expensive, but this would actually be even more effective. Install a huge magnet on the moon and turn that sucker on. And fuck off the earth, every gun on earth. Just, they're gone. And this would pull them out of basements. This would pull them where they've been buried underground, right? See, you don't have to even worry about finding them, trying to find out. It'll suck them right out of the ground, this huge magnet. The problem is you got to leave it turned on. Because it's not that hard to make a gun, so you got to leave it turned on.
We'd like to thank our guest, Cameron Reddy, who's on the show, stayed the whole hour with us. Thank you so much, Cameron. And of course, our good friend and contributor, White Mike. Cameron, I'm going to send you an email. Hopefully, Stephanie will send it to me. We've got to get you back on the show as soon as possible as this story heats up, man. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. It'd be my pleasure. I've really enjoyed talking with you, Reese and Mike. It's been great.
Thank you, man. And yeah, I got to pull on your ear for a small little question of not really legal advice. Legal
you
advice.
Got it.
But
you got
I
it.
Will definitely send you an email, folks. That's our show for today. We'd like again to thank Cameron Reddy, the author of By Force of Patriots. Be sure to go check that out. White Mike, as usual, thank you for being on the show. And JC, get some info from our good friend over there. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel right here on Recent Radio. Stepping up to the E. I'm serious, leaving you curious.
kind of slower. Time is it? I will not be lit.